Hi guys, we are back for another episode of our podcast.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. We're getting kind of slack with the consistency a little. I know it's like a weird time of year, so a lot's going on, but we got to do better.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, so today's episode is inspired by a show that was recommended to me on Wifey for Lifey group on Instagram. Follow me there if you are not. And the show is called Marry Me Now. All right. And so, babe, do you want to give the premise of the show?
Okay. Women asking men to marry them. Out of nowhere, well, almost forcing the man to say yes right then and there.
Yeah.
And if they do, they get married that same day.
Right.
The same day.
Yeah.
All paid for.
Yeah.
And everyone's invited. He knows nothing.
Yeah, he knows nothing.
Not one thing. He thinks he's going in talking about, going in for another show. But
right.
Then the woman surprises him and says, will you marry me? And he has to decide right there.
On the spot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so before we get into our ideas about this show and, you know, what we think about it, what would you have done if we lived in this day and age where we were in a relationship and you were courting me into marriage? Like, what would you have done if I pulled that stunt on you? Like, mm-hmm. asking you to marry me on the spot, which is something I would never do. We wouldn't be married if I had to ask you to marry me. But well, what if?
I would say no. And then I would, that's no for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I would say no, but knowing the intentions. Well, see, we were in a different situation, but anyway.
What do you mean we were in a different situation? I said, what if I would
my intentions were known
that you
early
wanted
on.
To marry me. Yes, yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't like a surprise that where we were going, what the goal was. And that's the goal for me with every, you know, it's like, that makes sense. Like, you get into a relationship with an end goal, and the end goal is marriage. So,
right.
In our situation, I don't see that happening, but if I was confronted with that kind of issue, I would say no, but I know what you want.
Yeah,
and
you knew
I
wanted to marry you.
I see that.
Yeah.
You want to speed up the issue, you know, speed up the process.
I wanted to marry you like from day one. That's so weird, right? I was so like taken by you. Like, it was something about your energy and your spirit. And then when I started talking to you and seeing what a gentleman you were and meeting your family, it was just like, I was ready. I was ready the first weekend. We weren't even boyfriend, girlfriend, because you asked me to be your girlfriend probably like 3 months mm-hmm. into the dating process, somewhere in between 3 and 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't start being exclusive. Well, we were exclusive mm-hmm. the whole time. Were you
yeah.
talking to any chicks?
No. The moment,
we were.
The moment I decide.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm going to be in a relationship, that's it.
That's it. So we weren't exclusive, but we were exclusive. We were only, like, dealing with each other, spending
mm-hmm.
all of our time mm-hmm. together. It was, like, intense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you would say no.
Yeah, I would say no, but knowing the intention to speed up the process, you know, I have to be the one that proposes. I'm more traditional in that way. It's like, why would...
So let's
it would
get
seem
into
weird
that.
To me.
Let's go mm-hmm. a little deeper. Why do you need to be the one to propose to a woman? Do you think it's like challenging your masculinity in some way? Do you think it's emasculating? Or do you think it's just a form of control? Because that's how I look at the show. It looks like a woman who's going to be a nightmare to be married to, because whenever she wants what she wants, she may try to back you into a corner or put you in, you know, on the spot, which is how I see it. But how do you see it? Why can't a woman, from your opinion, because people could do what they want, let's be clear, we don't care what you do, but from our perspective, why do you believe a woman shouldn't propose, and why do you find that unattractive? Because that's kind of what you're saying, it's an unattractive thing.
I think it sends the wrong signals.
Mm-hmm.
Controlling was the thing that came to my mind. Like, I wouldn't want to start a marriage on a controlling way of thinking. You know, I think that's, I don't want to be controlled, boxed in to act in a certain way. And then that's almost a sign that of things to come, basically. Like a lot of controlling behavior.
Right.
And I don't like that.
'Cause women, we're already, I don't want to say we're controlling, but we feel we know best a lot of times. I know all of the women I know, with the exception of a few, we think we know what we're talking about. And we think we know the best. And sometimes that is the case, but definitely I'd say that was a problem at the beginning of our marriage. I think I thought a little too highly of my perspective. And that definitely caused like some distance and some communication issues. And we did go to marriage counseling. And we recommend marriage counseling for everyone, because I think it was awesome. But it's I always tell people, as soon as we started like improving and turning another page, like, you were like, we're out of here, no more marriage counseling. Men don't like marriage counseling. I don't think men really like it. I don't think you were, you participated, you did your job, you know, but you didn't really like it that much. But I do think it was helpful. And then obviously when we became a bit more spiritual and matured a bit, then things kind of got smoother and smoother. But you weren't crazy about the marriage counseling, I don't think.
I thought it was beneficial. I thought it was good. You know,
But when I was like, do you want to go back? Do you want to continue? No, you were kind of like, no, I'm good.
I think I got it.
Okay.
Got the point.
Quick learner.
What we needed. It wasn't like
super serious.
It
wasn't an infidelity issue. Nah. It wasn't really.
It was more communication.
It was communication. It was.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I wanted to just work on the what was said or what tools were given.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to work on that, you know, and just.
Right.
If anything else comes up, you know, we weren't going anywhere. So go back.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, a communication. And we are different communicators. Let's go ahead and address this publicly on the podcast, because there are a couple of people who say I talk over you. I want to address this again, because I'm still getting this comment that I talk over you, which I don't think I talk over you. I just know that you are more prone to long pauses, and that makes more editing for me. The longer there's a pause, the more I have to edit. And also, I'm passionate and I'm expressive, but let's address this. Me talking over you. Do I talk over you? Even allow me to talk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But that's, I don't, you think quicker on your feet. I'm more of a slower thinker. I want to think before I speak.
Logical.
I'm not just quick to just say whatever is on my mind immediately. I'm knowledgeable. Well, I'm cognizant of how I want to sound and how I sound, and I want to just make sure I'm thinking through what I'm going to say, and I'm not going to just rush to say something just to fill air, fill time. I'm going to do what
you
want to
do.
I want to do. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, if I feel like taking my time to speak, I'm going to take my time to speak. So, and if the person I'm talking to can't wait or can't, is just so quick to, you know, what do you got to say? Then go. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't feel like talking, if you don't, everyone is different. So right. It's like, I'm not going to be rushing my words for you.
Right.
You know, I'm going to say what I want when I want to say it. And if you don't feel like waiting, then go and go like somewhere waiting. Else.
And that's including me. Like, you're going to do what you want to do regardless of whatever my habit is or however passionate I am. You're going to take your time. You're not going to be rushed by me. So I think they think that means you walk on eggshells because I am more verbally. A lot of people are ignorant. They think like the louder you are, that means the stronger you are. So am I disrespectful to you? Like, do you view it as disrespectful because I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, or I'm adding a thought or I'm passionate? Do you view it as disrespect? I think that's what people mm-hmm. are assuming, mm-hmm. that they view it. They're not viewing it as this is a podcast and this is entertainment, but they're viewing it as, oh, you talk over him sometimes or you interrupt, or do you view it as disrespect?
It depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I'm talking and then you talk over me and I feel disrespected, then I'm going to say something.
Right.
I'm not going to speak in general. Mm-hmm. It depends on the situation.
Right.
You know, it depends. If you speak over me and I feel disrespected, I'll say something. I'll touch you. I'll look at you. I'll there's ways to handle things, but just, you know, you say what you got to say. And if I'm confident enough to say what I want when I want to say it, or let you say whatever. But I don't know. Short answer is, in most cases, no. Mm-hmm. And if I do feel disrespected, then we'll talk about it.
Yes, we will.
You know, I mean, we'll talk about it. And, you know,
right. Because I get to see a side of you that no one else is going to see on this podcast, because you're always going to be, shall I say, putting your best foot forward, because mm-hmm. that's the way you live, even mm-hmm. at home. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not a reckless type of guy. You're a solid, serious, way more serious than me, kind of person, but you never try to make me small mm-mm. or make my personality small, as long as you're not being disrespected. You are huge on respect mm-hmm. and you don't allow me to disrespect you, even if I try it. Sometimes it's like, no, that's not happening. So this, I don't know what little message people are trying to put out, like, oh, you talk over him. That means he does what you say. Like, when you, like, yeah. Totally. I know you don't care what you say, but I just wanted to say that, mm-hmm. yeah, maybe it is a bad thing sometimes that I'm so passionate or I don't think and I interrupt.
Yeah, that's how I view it. You're just excited. The topic is exciting for you. Mm-hmm. You want to get that idea out. And me, I'm just like, hey, do your thing.
Also, I direct the conversation because it's mm-hmm. my platform. Right. So that's another mm-hmm. point I wanted to add. I am the director mm-hmm. of the podcast because, like I said, I'm shocked that you even do this podcast because mm-hmm. you are such a private, serious person, but I think you care about marriage and the state of marriage, and you obviously are spiritual, and I'm grateful that God like touched you to want to be doing this with me. But can we make it clear that I kind of come up with you work and provide and take care of me. And mm-hmm. I kind of come up with all the topics, mm-hmm. all the, you know, I do all the editing mm-hmm. and I guide the podcast because you're not some clown entertainment personality. Like, you're just my husband, a hardworking man that takes care of me mm-hmm. that, like I said, is so gracious and does this with me. But I kind of guide the podcast. Not our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a podcast where I'm just more the co-star in this situation. You know, I'm just color commentating.
Right. Something. But you're the star in the home.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm the co-star.
Yeah, that's you're the pilot. This is a different situation.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say it for all mm-hmm. the haters and mm-hmm. people who are trying to spin that narrative because they're miserable, lonely, and unsuccessful. I did want to put that out there that you are obviously the leader in this home. You are the pilot. I am the co-pilot. You are the star. Mm-hmm. I am the co-star. And we are very happy with that dynamic. But mm-hmm. I am more expressive on my platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an introvert, so I'm not,
you're
I'm
introvert.
Not quick to just be
yeah.
saying things just to say things.
Yeah. And I'm more extroverted. Yeah. So I just wanted to, that was a little turn, but I think that's good because I wanted to get that out there and I probably will post this clip on YouTube.
Yeah, some people just want to find, just search for
anything,
any negative yeah. part that they can pull mm-hmm. out and mm-hmm. then just discard the rest, you know, so, and then don't put things in the context or they don't really know what they're talking about because they haven't followed the journey.
Right.
They haven't seen what you or I have been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So they just take what someone else says and then what they say and then believe that and then go look for that and then go ahead and talk about that little
mm-hmm.
clip as if they know the context.
Right. As if they know the context. Yeah. As if they know the context of our history.
Mm-hmm.
As if they know the context of our dynamics behind closed mm-hmm. doors. As if they know what we've been through. Mm-hmm. As if they know our journey and our growth process. Or as if they knew our purpose of this podcast, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Thank you, babe, for mm-hmm. sharing that. And also for, like, checking me. You said sometimes it could be disrespectful.
Could
so
be.
I need to think about that.
But see, I don't even remember a point where something was disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm just speaking like, in yeah,
general.
At one point it may be,
it may have,
it
been.
May have been, but
yeah.
I don't, it wasn't so important where I'm like, oh, remember that time he was speaking and I was speaking.
Yeah.
Well, there's other things to worry about. Okay. I'm not,
right.
I don't care about.
And you're happy. You're happy with me and, you know, you would let me know if you weren't
yeah.
happy. I actually, you don't even have to let me know. I know I've known you now for such a long time that I can tell, like, what kind of attitude you're in, what, you know, if you're in the mood, if you're not in the mood, if you're playful, if you're not playful. You know, we kind of know each other in a way now that is, you know, so deep and intimate, so... Yeah, that's not a problem in our relationship because I think we play off each other really well and you know I'm passionate about certain mm-hmm. topics and you are too about mm-hmm. certain topics. And if I'm talking and you want to talk, you just talk over me too. Like they don't get to see that here, mm-hmm. but you've done that. You're like, mm-hmm. no, because I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. okay. You know, so look, this is not a big deal. Like this is like self-expression, you know. You're not here trying to control my every thought, my every, you know, way that I express myself. And I
vice
appreciate
versa.
That. Yeah, mm-hmm. and vice versa. I'm not here to control your pauses. I just might interject to mm-hmm. prevent the long editing
yeah,
process.
That's how yeah. radio is. That's how podcast is. And that's not my world. I don't, I'm a
yeah.
pause and think mm-hmm. because it's going out. Into the world.
Right.
So I'm not just going to start talking.
Right.
Without thinking.
Right. That's my
what
job.
What would that make me?
Yeah, it wouldn't make you the man that has helped me with my anger and my issues and my impulsive nature. Because I've talked about that online, you know, that I was way more impulsive, way more... aggressive in the way I would express myself with other people. You always got special treatment from me because you're just my special person. But yeah, I'm not afraid of conflict, but you really brought a lot of calmness to my life, a lot more discipline to my life. You really made me think more about the values and morals I was raised with. And, you know, I appreciate you for that. And I'm sure I've done things for you. Like you try different foods now,
mm-hmm.
you know, you are okay with me saying, let's go to this place this mm-hmm. weekend. It's like a little uncomfortable for you at first, but you're like more open. Mm-hmm. So we've done things for each other, mm-hmm. like to grow each other. And I appreciate that. So thank you mm-hmm. for addressing that. Mm-hmm. All right. So to wrap up our ideas about, you know, women proposing to men, I want to add this to the conversation. Should a woman pursue a man? Should a woman pursue a man into courtship of like exclusivity? Should a woman make her desire to be with a certain man? Is that a turnoff? Can you address your perspective on the pursuing of a man, just to add another layer to the conversation? And what would be a turnoff for you if a woman was like into you, and what would be things that would be like red flag? No, you're doing too much.
Should a woman pursue a man?
Yeah. Like, I like you. I want us to get to know each other better. Possibly, maybe we could, you know. Like, how far should a woman go in her...
Saying it once or twice is good. You know what I mean? Because a man who is focused on other things may not have his attention your way. Mm-hmm. So is to let yourself be seen is right. one thing. To the pursuing.
That's not a woman's job, is it?
I wouldn't say that. That word pursuing has me thinking consistently, constantly putting yourself out there, explicitly saying, "I want you." It's a little bit aggressive, is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I'm into. Once you let it be known that you're interested, I think that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
If the guy doesn't reciprocate that, then I think it's time for you to move on.
Right.
Because that's not starting the relationship off well either. If you let yourself, well, tell the man that you're interested and he doesn't, and you just keep going, that's almost like, oh, okay, well, this could just be someone on the side or something, almost, because she's always going to be pressed.
Right.
You know, I need the person I really want. I'm going to go after that person. But this person is really pressed, and you don't want to seem desperate.
Right, because people will use you if they know that you are, like, really pressed and desperate. But
yeah,
the natural flirting is something women have done since the beginning of time. You mentioned how women used to drop their handkerchiefs. And women were presented to men in the older days. Like, in the older days, like, you know, you would kind of be presented to an eligible bachelor. But it's different now with online dating and the way people date. And, you know, people confuse dating with sexual things. And it's all mixed up and just, you know, it's an interesting world people are living in now. But the flirtation, that's sexy, right? Like,
that's fine. I mean,
that's like, because I definitely flirted with you when we met. I was like, you had to know that, yeah, I'm here. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. If you want to entertain, I'm here for it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with making sure that you are seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not in destructive ways or like really like too much. Because sometimes women can do a little too much with their dress, with their over-touching, you know, being overly sexually explicit. Like, you don't want to do that, but nothing wrong with flirting, smiling, talking, letting a guy know, like, I'm into you. Men want that. Men want to be desired, but pursuing, no. You were the one that pursued us into exclusivity. Mm-hmm. You were the one that proposed, and you knew I was feeling you. There was no doubt in your mind that when you got down on one knee the traditional old school way, well, ask my father for my hand in marriage first. There was no doubt when you asked my father for, you know, my hand in marriage And when you got down on one knee, I mean, there was no way you thought I was going to say no, because you knew I was totally head over heels in love, mm-hmm. still am till this day. Mm-hmm. And so, I am too. Oh, thank you, babe. So I just wanted to put it out there, like, you can flirt, you can let a guy, you can walk past a guy, you can even bump into a guy. I mm-hmm. mean, look, you do what you have to do so that you can at least make sure the guy sees you, because you were very reserved. You were like mm-hmm. not a people person. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even know if you would ever really notice me if I didn't strut over to your side of the room and we started up a conversation. I mean, some men just aren't out there like chasing women. And you told me that. You were like, I never was like worried about getting married. You always felt it would happen naturally in your journey.
Yeah. It just happened naturally. I wasn't pressed about relationships. I just figured it, you know, what happened when it happens. I'm not pressing any kind of issue. I'm going to just do my thing.
You're so laid back, babe.
I'm just pursue my education.
Oh, you're such a nerd, babe.
and do my thing, and you know, eventually someone will be around.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that someone was me.
Yeah, me too.
Okay,
I think we fit.
Yeah, I do think we fit perfectly mm-hmm. because we're so different. But isn't that mm-hmm. a gift and a curse? Mm-hmm. Like, what makes us super attracted to mm-hmm. each other and like hot for each other is exciting, but also isn't that like the bane of our existence too, with our personalities, mm-hmm. with having personality clashes from mm-hmm. time to time? Mm-hmm. So it is like a gift and a curse. You mm-hmm. kind of have to take the good with the bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So I just want to hit on this point. Do you view it as emasculation? Because you didn't touch on that. Or is it like that? Is that going too far?
No, it does. I think you're like taking the role away. Like, if you're going to be traditional, I mean, you're taking that masculine role away. You started to embody that, and that's not a good way to start things off. I mean, it's not your job to propose to me. And that's me as a, you know, traditional person thinking. That's not how I've seen it in my family. That's mm-hmm. not how I pictured things. Mm-hmm. That brings out some weird vibes to me when a woman starts to do something like that and try to take control of the relationship and all that. I don't like that. Yeah, it's emasculating, short answer.
It's emasculating. Okay, so you consider yourself to be a traditional Christian man. Mm-hmm. So if a woman were to ask you, well, how do I know that a man is pursuing me? Because maybe they never experienced being pursued or courted. Can mm-hmm. you think of the ways that you showed me that you, I know, but can you think of ways where a woman could be clear that, yeah, I'm being pursued, and I'm also being pursued for marriage? Is there anything that comes to your mind?
When he talks about the future, are you included? Mm-hmm. Is he hiding you in some way and not mm-hmm. really putting you forward as the woman that he's with? Mm-hmm. What kind of conversation, like, what are the conversations like? There has to be some kind of, is he talking about the future with you? I don't know. Those are some, I mean, I don't have, it's a deep situation. I wouldn't solely put it on if they had parents together, if he had parents that were together, and if that's something that he's seen and see as normal, a normal chain of events, you know, eventually getting to a marriage. But that's something that the woman has to find out for herself if she don't, if it's not clear. Like, other than those things, I would have to think longer. You have some long pauses
for me to be. You're bringing in the long pause conversation. Well, I just wanted to know what you thought of, but yeah, I can those add. Things.
He has the future. It has to be. Yeah. Have to have you involved.
I can add the things that you didn't add. I will say, like, once you did start calling me, and like we started the whole journey to marriage, you always called when you said you were going to call. You always picked me up when you said you were going to pick me up. There were never days that we went without speaking. And I think once we started really like being serious as a couple, I don't think there was ever a day we didn't speak. Only time I can think of is like when you went to California with your parents.
I called you there.
Yeah, you did call me there. But yeah, like, and there was a time we were long distance shortly. There was never any like breaks. I couldn't find you. I didn't know where you were. You didn't know where I was. Like, you were always really consistent in communicating with me, communicating, you know, your thoughts and where we were going as a couple. And another thing is, you introduced me to your parents very early on. And I know for some, they think that means nothing. It could mean nothing, depending on the type of family that that person has. But considering how you grew up and how your parents were, I think that was a big thing. It was very early. Like, you're my girlfriend now. Boom, we're going to the Lion King to see this play. And I was so nervous. I remember I was so nervous meeting your parents, but I think you introducing me to your parents really showed me, like, this guy's serious about me. He wants me to meet his family. And that was, of course, that was years, even before we got married. I mean, I think we dated, like, almost 3 years. We got married shortly after graduation. It was more like 2.5, I guess, but it wasn't. We didn't date that long.
That seemed kind of
long. Yeah, it might have been, like, 2 years. I can't remember exactly, but I think 2.5 years, and we were married.
Probably only that long because
we were still in college. And we were still in college.
Yeah, we were still in college.
Yeah, and then when we graduated, I went and moved back home for like 6 months or something like that. And then you couldn't live without me. And then you came and moved to North Carolina. So, yeah. But those are the things that stick out to me that I knew you were pursuing me. Yeah, never trying to hide me. I was your girl. Everybody knew I was your girl. You loved me. You treated me well.
You were the priority. It's like, what, I'm going to hang out with friends or hang out with you? We were together a lot.
All
probably
the time.
More, that was probably above average.
It was.
Amount
it was
of time.
It was probably like weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little weird. But yeah, we were together.
It was like weird.
A whole lot.
And we still are.
Mm-hmm.
It never changed. We still are together all the time, but we're not weird. I have my own things. You're not big. You're not a big people person, but you do have your own activities that you like to do with yourself that I'm not a part of. I might be home, but I'm not bothering you. I have my own life with my social media business and things of that nature. I might go out. I go out all the time by myself. So we're not weird in the sense, oh, we can't be apart, you know, but we like to be together. We're that couple that is going, you see me, you see him, you see him, you see me. We are that couple, and we've always been that couple from the very beginning. From college on. So ladies, I would say that's how you know that a man is truly courting you for marriage, and he's pursuing you into something serious. I will say, final thoughts for me, it's very uncomfortable for me to watch women to propose to men. I think it's out of order. I think it's out of God's design. I think it's setting a tone in your home that you are in control and you can force your spouse into a corner, whether it's a man or a woman. I don't think a man should do this to a woman either. I don't think a man should propose and say, we're going to get married right now. Like, I don't, like, that's like oh, I don't get to have a, yeah, I don't get to have a wedding. I don't get to have a court, whether it's a courthouse wedding or a church wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get to have a wedding. I don't get to wear a pretty dress. Like, it is a sign of being controlling. And I just think that it's desperate as well, because if a man wants to marry you, he's going to ask, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like there's an ulterior motive or something. Like, why are you so pressed to do it right now? Like, what are you afraid of? What's, you know, questions start to come up about why this is happening right now.
And can we say in that episode with Mooch, I can't remember what the guy's name is, but I remember her name was Mooch. Yeah. That was her nickname, and you were like, what? Mm-hmm. But the man looked so uncomfortable when she was proposing to him, and I feel he went along with it because I do think he has feelings for her, but he looked so uncomfortable and seemed terrified.
Like his mind was racing, like he was thinking a lot of thoughts, and I don't, like a whole bunch of thoughts, questions, all this was going through his head. So his face looked like he was thinking about a whole bunch of things, and kind of a shell going through the motions or something. And I mean, when you got your family on her side, her family on her side, TV cameras in your face, in wedding dress already,
it's
crowd around you, like, you're gonna say no and make this woman feel bad, embarrassed, all this other stuff. Are you gonna go through that? You're gonna have that situation on,
right?
But I still would say no, like that.
Right, because you have to hold on to some sovereignty about yourself and some dignity about yourself. And also, I want to say, I feel the families really failed these women by not being honest with them that this is weird. You know, I think nobody thinks this is, like, very strange. Have we come to this point in society where, like, all traditionalism, all order, all decency has gone out the door?
I see it. Seems that way. Weird. I don't see things getting much better. It's like once that door is open, that door is just kicked open by people. I don't know. It's like the pockets of traditional people seems like that the size of that population is getting smaller and smaller, or at least that voice is getting quieter and quieter.
Right.
And that other, whatever the other group is just getting loud and louder while the traditional people and the other people are, like, working and getting to work and doing what's, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's it's pretty bad. But, you know, we have a platform.
Hey, yeah.
We have a platform, so we're doing our part with the time that we have here on this earth, not only to be happy together, but to share, you know, that happiness and that joy and concepts and ideas with other people.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I just want to say there's hope. Yeah. Well, very little, but there is some.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that as a woman, I want to be courted and I want to be proposed to and I want to be pursued. Even as a wife, I want to be pursued. Mm-hmm. You know, I want you to continue to do what you have done all of these years and take me on dates and tell me you think I'm pretty and, you know, and be all over me like you are around the house and grabbing me and playing with me. And we watch different movies and shows together. And we always have these, like, really bonding moments. And I just appreciate that you have never stopped pursuing me, except for the times where maybe we weren't speaking and you were like, I'm done with you, chick. You're getting on my nerves. You know, that was a very small time in our marriage. So I would say that was probably like year 3 and 5, where there was some communication things going on. But we very quickly bounced back from that, like, darkness we were in, thank God. And we just grew up and matured. And, you know, you're going to have issues in your marriage. This is like real life. But I'm just letting you ladies know, if you want to be courted, if you want to be pursued, if you want to be proposed to, That is something that God put in you as the helper. You know, you're not the lead. And when you ask a man to marry you, if you are traditional, then you're going against your own nature. So I think I want to end with that thought, that it's going against your own nature, and it's going against the nature of a masculine man. Mm. He's not going to be into it. He's going to look at it as controlling, probably weird. I'm sure there's some couples that have broken up over this. Like, no, you're way out there. You're way out there, more than I even thought. So just keep that in mind. Do what you want. But that's our take on Marry Me Now. And do you have any final thoughts?
No. No. I don't.
Said what needed to be said. Yeah. To me and to the audience. Hey. All right, so
I am what I am.
You are what you yes, and you've always been, and I'm sure you are who you are. You don't change for me or anyone as far as your personality. You are who you are, and I am too, right?
Yes, you are who you are.
I am who I am, and we kind of treat each other with lots of love, grace, and respect, but we don't try to change each other. That's a thing of the definitely a thing of the past. We kind of accept each other for who we are, and it works for us. So yeah. All right, so thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Are You Open to Being Offended? I love these podcasts, ladies. I promise you, we're gonna stay consistent. Even if we have a week or two where we miss, we will be back, because I love doing these podcasts. I had such a good time. Make sure you grab my book, Be the Prize, if you want to learn more about boundaries and dating and femininity. That is available via PDF or Amazon. And don't forget to follow me over on Wifey for Lifey group on Instagram. And we will see you next time. Or we'll not see you, but we'll talk to you next time.
And get some counseling.
Get some counseling.
If you need help, get counseling. That was all I'm saying.
Oh, well,
some of these people have some issues.
That was out of nowhere. Yeah, you know, get some counseling.
The thought came pretty late.
Yeah, know? The thought. Yes, and I do recommend. Yeah, a lot of us need some counseling. We told you that we did marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. I think it did wonders for our marriage and the way we, you know, started communicating with each other. I will leave a link to a counseling service that you can do online. It's a faith-based counseling service. I'll make sure I put that link in the description of the podcast episode. If you feel you do struggle with any type of issue with communication, anger, anxiety, you need counseling. Like we all need counseling sometimes at some point in your life. So I'll put that information in the description of this episode, and we will see you next time, ladies. Bye bye. Babe, you are hilarious. Like out of nowhere, get some counseling. Bye guys.